Mr. Sams.
May it please the court, my name is Stephen Sams, and I represent the plaintiff below, appellant in this case, Mr. Dean Hudson. This case originated October 10th, 2002, when Mr. Hudson filed Frampton claim in Indiana State Court. The case was removed to U.S. District Court based on diversity and amount in controversy grounds. The U.S. District Court granted defendant's motion for summary judgment September 30th, 2004. Mr. Hudson subsequently appealed that decision. There are basically two issues in this case, the first one being whether the timing or temporal proximity of Mr. Hudson's termination with his having sought out workers' comp benefits precludes summary judgment.
Of course, the workman's compensation case was filed in connection with the fight that gave rise to the him being fired.
That is correct, Your Honor.
So there's that seems to me to obviate any problem having to do with the timing of the thing. They had to fire him simultaneously with filing the complaint, with filing his workman's comp claim.
Well, that leads to the second issue, and that's the proffered reason for the termination, which Walmart contends.
Well, the first one fades into the second one, no matter how you slice the cheese. That is to say, you cannot use the proximity. He gets in a fight, he files a claim for workman's comp, and then he can't because he got in a fight. But those two things have to be simultaneous. I mean, it isn't a long drag. They didn't wait a while and can them, or he didn't wait a while to file it.
So, that's correct, but as I will argue, there are inconsistencies.
Well, you can argue it, but it doesn't seem to me particularly intelligent to argue something when the timing is based on exactly the same event.
Well, the second issue is whether the truthfulness of Walmart's...
There you are. You can argue that if you want.
Proffered reason for terminating Mr. Hudson precluded summary judgment. Of course, the relief requested on behalf of Mr. Hudson is that the decision of the district court be reversed and that he be afforded the opportunity to present his case to a jury. Key facts in this case include the fact that Mr. Hudson was employed by Walmart at one of its Indianapolis stores January 10th of 2002. He was a co-worker and associate of a Mr. Ramirez. Both were staff-level employees. Mr. Hudson made well known his dim view of and complaints about Mr. Ramirez's productivity. It is disputed, however, how much of those exchanges occurred between Mr. Hudson directly with Mr. Ramirez. After finishing work on a Friday night shift, April 26th of 02, Mr. Ramirez re-entered the store and confronted Mr. Hudson about those complaints. In effect, he struck Mr. Hudson in the head. Mr. Hudson offered no resistance. The blow to his head rendered Mr. Hudson momentarily unconscious, dislocated his shoulder, and Mr. Ramirez continued to strike him to the head and the eye. Hudson was taken to the hospital and Ramirez ran off. Store co-manager Jadre visited Mr. Hudson that next morning in the hospital and received Mr. Hudson's explanation of what had happened the previous hours. Walmart also acquired written statements from a number of management staff as well as staff associates at the store, none of whom happened to be eyewitnesses to the incident. Mr. Hudson sought workers' comp benefits. First, he phoned Ms. Cord, who was the personnel manager of that store, as early as April 29th, which was a Monday after that Friday into Saturday morning incident. He also contacted her again prior to meeting with the store co-manager of the store, Mr. Jadre, on May 6th of 02. Walmart did not provide any of the paperwork for Mr. Hudson to seek workers' comp benefits until May 15th. In the meantime, Walmart fired Mr. Ramirez on May 1st and Mr. Hudson subsequently on May 6th, allegedly for provoking the incident and altercation that occurred on April 26th, 27th. Walmart denied Mr. Hudson workers' comp benefits. That case was adjudicated at the single-member hearing level before the Indiana Workers' Compensation Board. Mr. Hudson prevailed. That decision was appealed. The full board affirmed the single-member hearing's ruling, and then Walmart subsequently appealed that case to the Indiana Court of Appeals. The law that applies in this case is Indiana law, primarily the progeny as well as the Frampton case some 32 years ago. Walmart argues that the Stone case from this court should be applied to this case, or can be applied to this case. That was done at the trial court level, and the U.S. District Court basically ignored applying that framework to this case and did indeed apply Indiana case law to it. Mr. Hudson can clearly show two of the three elements of a prima facie case for a retaliatory discharge in this case. Obviously, he filed, or at least he sought, workers' compensation benefits, and he also was fired. The challenge for him is to prove causation. As we've earlier alluded to, he can do that in one of two ways. One is by temporal proximity of the two events, and the second is to poke holes in and raise inconsistencies with the proffered reason for termination being patently inconsistent with the evidence. Mr. Hudson would submit to the court that there is a relationship between those two possible routes of proof, that relationship being one that one depends on the other. If the temporal proximity argument is weaker or non-existent, for that matter, then the argument has to be quite strong in terms of the poking holes in the truthfulness of the proffered reason, and inversely to that as well. The inference that, well, the U.S. District Court determined or concluded that Walmart had no knowledge of Mr. Hudson's workers' compensation intentions. In effect, they are drawing inferences for the movement in this case of summary judgment, rather than drawing reasonable inferences for the non-movement. The more reasonable inference would be that Walmart, as defendant, was on notice. First of all, co-store manager Jodre visited him in the hospital the hours after the incident occurred and learned about the circumstances. And as a manager, he should know that the ingredients of that altercation would relate to and invoke workers' compensation benefits. Secondly, Ms. Cord, the personnel manager, had multiple communications with Mr. Hudson. As I've mentioned earlier, those multiple communications, as well as Mr. Jodre's knowledge about the incident that evening, basically prove that there were communications between the management of that store. To decide otherwise or to reason otherwise would have us assume that there was no communications between any of the management personnel of the store. In addition, the truthfulness of the proffered reason for the termination is an issue for the jury to decide.
I just want to remind you you're in rebuttal.
I saw it. Thank you. There are enough inconsistencies to get the case to the jury. Walmart claims that Mr. Hudson provoked the fight. There's no need for even reasoning that way if, in fact, the reason for the termination was that they were uniformly applying the policy, which they were not. That
all. All right. Ms. Zoller. Thank you, Mr. Sams.
May it please the court, my name is Susan Zeller and I represent Walmart. Walmart asked this court to affirm the district court's grant of summary judgment on Hudson's retaliatory discharge claim. The district court's judgment should be affirmed for three reasons. First, Hudson failed to establish a causal connection in between his termination and his intention to seek workers' compensation benefits. Second, even if he had raised an initial inference of causation, he has not established that Walmart's articulated reason for his termination is pretextual. And third, as an independent or alternative basis for affirming the district court's decision, Hudson failed to establish a retaliatory discharge claim under the standard that this court has articulated in Stone versus the City of Indianapolis. Hudson failed to establish a causal connection between his termination and his intention to seek workers' compensation benefits. As the district court properly noted, there is no evidence in the record that the decision maker in this case, store manager Shannon Cremines, was even aware of Hudson's intention to seek workers' compensation benefits at the time that he made his termination decision.
Why did Walmart fire him?
Walmart terminated Mr. Hudson after conducting an investigation and determining that Mr. Hudson violated the workplace violence policy. To articulate what the workplace violence policy states, because I think that's very important, the workplace violence policy expressly prohibits not only physical violence, but threats of harm, veiled threats, intimidation, challenging fights, or other similarly inappropriate behavior.
Well, this whole thing that happened on whatever the date was that the incident occurred has been described as a fight, but this really was an attack, not a fight, as I see it.
I would disagree.
Ramirez just smacked him. Sucker punched him or something like that. You usually need two people to have a fight, and it doesn't look like Hudson was fighting.
Well, as I mentioned, the workplace violence policy prohibits not only physical violence against another individual, but challenging fights, threatening violence, things of that nature, intimidation. What Walmart's investigation, moving forward, there was an investigation conducted following the altercation on the evening, the morning of April 27th. It was commenced immediately by the store manager. Statements were gathered, and management staff members were interviewed as well. And what that investigation revealed is the following: that Hudson had said to Ramirez that he was worthless that evening, that he had used foul language in direction to Mr. Ramirez, that he had approached another associate, that Ramirez had approached another associate that evening and said that Hudson had been in his face and that he could not take Hudson talking about him anymore. Perhaps most significantly, another associate provided a written statement indicating that on the evening of this altercation, Hudson approached her and told her that, and excuse my language, that he and Ramirez had gotten in an argument and that Ramirez wasn't shit and would never be shit. On top of that, the same associate then heard Hudson tell Ramirez that he was going to kick his ass at 2 o'clock in the parking lot. Clearly, that qualifies as a threat of violence or challenging a fight when you tell someone that you're going to kick their ass in the parking lot at 2 o'clock in the morning. And that, under Walmart's workplace violence policy, is grounds for termination, just as much so as it would be if the individual actually struck someone. Walmart is not contending that Ramirez was the clear winner in this altercation, but Hudson's behavior also violated the workplace violence policy. And that is the reason that he was terminated. It was determined that he had provoked this altercation and that he had engaged in threats of violence physical harm.
But why shouldn't the jury decide whether it was this specter of a workers' comp claim that was really the reason?
Well, as this court has indicated on other...
Wasn't there a lot of evidence or some evidence here that Walmart... Someone in personnel told him that there wouldn't be workers' comp available because it was a fight between two co-workers, and that's why he was injured. And workers' comp wouldn't provide coverage for that.
There is evidence that when Mr. Hudson spoke with the personnel manager, an hourly employee who processes the personnel paperwork, that she informed him that she had spoken to Walmart's independent insurance carrier, and the insurance carrier had advised her that it did not appear that it would be covered. However, Hudson testified in his deposition that he understood in that conversation that Ms. Cord was telling him that the ultimate decision was the insurance carrier's decision and that she was not denying that claim, nor was she denying him paperwork at that time. So while there was an indication that, yes, this was the information that was provided by the insurance carrier, it was also made clear to Mr. Hudson that the insurance carrier would be the entity that would be making that decision. And the reason why it's not necessary to go to a jury in this case is, as this court has held in other retaliatory discharge cases, if an employer articulates a legitimate non-discriminatory or non-retaliatory reason, as it is in this case, the plaintiff must establish pretext to get to a jury, and there is not evidence of pretext in this case. Walmart conducted a thorough investigation. The investigation commenced immediately, and I do believe that is significant.
What troubles me here is all the stuff that you're talking about, that Hudson allegedly said he was going to kick somebody's ass. Hudson denies saying that.
So, yes.
I mean, those are factual questions that a jury is going to or a trier of fact would ordinarily resolve.
Well, no, not necessarily, because under the pretext standard, what matters is the employer's honest belief as to what occurred,
You're correct on that, but...
and Walmart
whether they had an honest belief is probably a factual issue to be decided in most of these kind of cases.
Well, I think the fact that they had numerous independent statements from both management associates and associates who were in the workplace that evening that supported the interpretation that Hudson had violated that workplace violence policy. This wasn't just one associate. These were several associates saying that Mr. Hudson had been repeatedly going after him throughout the night, using foul language, referring to him, telling him that he wasn't going to be shit, never was shit, threatening him in the parking lot. Walmart was entitled, as an employer, following a reasonable investigation, to
make...
They
fired them both, did they?
I'm sorry?
They fired them both.
Absolutely, Your Honor. They fired them both. And some reference has been made to the fact that they fired Mr. Ramirez on May 1st and they fired Mr. Hudson on May 6th. The only reason for the difference in timing is Mr. Ramirez fled the scene and did not return to the workplace. So once the investigation was conducted, they processed his exit paperwork. Mr. Hudson's first day back to work was May 6th, and they immediately met with him and terminated him at that time.
Well, the difference is that Ramirez clearly attacked Hudson on April 27th. No question that he was in violation of whatever the policy of the Walmart is on that day. It's hard for me to see that if that incident hadn't occurred on the 27th, that Hudson would have been discharged.
It's hard for you
would to... Would Hudson have been discharged but for the attack on the 27th?
Yes, if it had come to light and management had learned that he had been making inappropriate statements, such as asking him to meet him in the parking lot and threatening to kick his ass in the parking lot at 2 o'clock, absolutely, Hudson would have been terminated.
Okay.
As a separate basis, and we've spoke of this briefly, if the court were to decide that the Stone versus City of Indianapolis standard applied in this case, there would be additional reasons for affirmance. Under either standard, Walmart would prevail because it has articulated a legitimate, non-retaliatory reason for Mr. Hudson's termination. However, under the Stone standard, applying the indirect analysis, as there's no direct evidence of retaliation in this case, Walmart would additionally prevail because Mr. Hudson has not pointed to any evidence of similarly situated employees who had not engaged in protected activity who were treated any more favorably. And in fact, the evidence is replete, or the record is replete with evidence of associates who also were terminated for violating the workplace violence policy and who had not filed workers' compensation claims or expressed an intention to seek workers' compensation benefits. The evidence also supports the fact that Hudson was not performing his job satisfactorily at the time of his termination, which would additionally support a finding that he could not meet a prima facie case. Not only is there evidence that he obviously had violated the workplace violence policy at the time, but in addition to that, as part of its investigation, Walmart also learned that Mr. Hudson had made other inappropriate remarks to Mr. Ramirez in the workplace prior to the incident in question as well. Walmart... my presentation is over, but I'd like to ask the court if there are any other additional questions that I could answer for you.
I don't think so.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Zeller. Mr. Sams?
I'd just like to make three brief remarks. One is that the question of the viability of Mr. Hudson's claim, as far as Ms. Cord was concerned, raises the interesting question, why say it's denied if it's not already done? Threats and of intimidation are issues of fact. There were no eyewitnesses to this incident. The record and the statements are rife with hearsay.
The question, of course, is whether or not Walmart believed the statements, not whether they happened or were true.
Correct. That's my third comment. And what Mr. Hudson said, just to wrap up that previous remark, what Mr. Hudson said or did not say is also an issue of fact. And finally, any employer can offer a legitimate reason for termination and say they honestly believe it. However, the truthfulness of that reason and their determination of motivation is for the jury. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Sams. Thank you, Ms. Zeller. The case is taken under advisement. The court will proceed to the fifth case of the day, Jones versus Lucent Technology.